On today's Techno Babble, improving your videos with Photoshop.
This is Techno Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Techno Babble. I am your host, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you have any questions, comments, etc., head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you can support the show. Actually, you can't support the show there. Sorry, I was wrong. What you can do is you can leave your questions or comments, and I've got all of the information for doing that at that site. So later on, I'm going to mention every last one of those from my email address to the 1-800 number and everything. But I don't need to waste your time right now, so I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to start by talking about a couple of things that you may want to know. You might know that I'm an author. You might know that I've written a few books. So I have Podcasting Church here. I've got a couple of them. My first two I have with me. The third one I am out of. So, Podcasting Church, Tweeting Church, and I also have The Serving Church, which is all about serving. Well, I've done a little bit of a different book this time. This is all about doing video, and so I thought if you were interested in video, you might be interested in this. This is Church Video School. Church Video School is my latest book that divides basic video knowledge into several daily lessons that are really short. So just by going through this one at a time, you can get to the point with video where you'll be on top of just all the basic stuff that you need to know. And so I have published this through Church Mag Press, which is a new publisher, and what they're doing is they took my manuscript, they edited it, they formatted it, they made the cover, basically taking all of that work off my shoulders so that we could get this out to you sooner rather than later. So if you're interested in this book, it's on sale the first week in August only for $14.95. Normally it's going to be $19.95. So I would advise that you get it sooner rather than later, and you can help take your church's video to the next level. This show is also generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, that's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff, and you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. Every little bit helps, and it helps me change lives and eternities, so thank you for joining me in this work. So, let's get started talking about this software that, frankly, I knew this. I knew some of this. Let me do this. I knew some of this, but I'd forgotten. You see, the reason I knew this was, you remember there was a craze a while back on the internet where there were very subtle movements in photographs called cinemagraphs. They used to be called animated GIFs or animated GIFs, depending on who you ask. And the idea was that there would be just a little subtle movement to make this motion, this looping graphic, come alive more. So you might have a model and her dress is blowing, but nothing else is moving, just her dress is blowing in the wind. Or you might be watching someone work and the only thing you see them move is their hand moves on the mouse and it loops just forever. So that is a cinemagraph. The only difference between that and an animated GIF or animated GIF is the execution, how subtle the movement is. Subtle movement, cinemagraph. More complex movement, maybe the loop isn't so clear, animated GIF. So I had used one to make an animated GIF of my daughter. I shot video with my T3i, opened it up in Photoshop, and then I used the video feature in Photoshop just to loop that, and then export it as an animated GIF. That's how I think I would do it if I were you. So that's one thing you can do. But let me backtrack just a little bit. First off, if you're like me, Photoshop has always been super expensive to you. I mean, you know, if you're in a large church, a large corporation, if you do tons of graphic design work, $700-$800 for the software, not too bad. But it was always too much for me personally to go ahead and buy that. I mean, I think I could have saved up and gotten to the point where I could buy the upgrade, but the full version that you need to start out with in order to get the upgrade, a little pricey. Well, recently, Adobe changed their business model from boxed software. So you go to the store, you buy the box, you come home, you install the DVDs, like that, to an online model where it's software as a service, SaaS, and that's called the Adobe Creative Cloud. Well, their most often used software, the software that basically launched Adobe, is Photoshop. And Photoshop, you would think, is just for stills. Well, it used to be just for stills. In fact, I remember using it in college back in probably 94, 95, something like that. And I used it in college, and it was just for stills. If you did anything complex, the thing would just crank on it for a while, and you just had to wait for it to get done, you know, and then you continue on. Well, as Photoshop has matured, they've added other capabilities. One capability that I love is the vanishing point feature. Vanishing point, where you can take a flat image and put it on a plane within the image. So if I wanted to replace, let's say, the covers of the books behind me, there they are, with something else, let's say my latest book, if I wanted to do that with a still, I could do it no problem with vanishing point. There's other 3D stuff where you can make 3D objects, but one of the great things that they've added recently is this video ability. Now, a friend of mine sent me an article from CNET where it said editing video in Photoshop. And I tried it out, and I suppose that it's something that you're able to do. Because most people overuse their editors, so they're doing things like adding in 3D cube spins and just basically making a mess of their video. Photoshop can't do any of that. That's good, quite frankly. I'm okay with that. But one thing that it can do is it can do all the things that you can do with a still image to a video. So let me give you a perfect example. This is something that happened to me earlier on in this very week, and this is what has prompted this particular show. I thought about that article as I realized that in my haste to shoot a video outside, I had forgotten to change the setting on the camera from manual white balance for indoors to at least auto white balance or white balance for outdoors. Forgotten to change that. So my video looked a little blue-green. Not gonna lie. Wasn't really pleased with the results And I thought, well, I'm probably going to have to reshoot. But before I reshot, here's what I did. Took it into Photoshop, and I did some of the stuff that I would do on a still image. So I found some white, and I used one of the color correction layers to re-white balance it. And it looked pretty good. I added another color correction layer, and I brought down the saturation a bit, and it looked better. And then I thought, well, on my head it's a little washed out. I didn't quite get the brightness and contrast, the gamma, all that stuff exactly right with that shot, but it was night and day between the blue-green really ugly video that I started out with and the, oh, it looks stylized kind of video that I ended up with. So I think that Photoshop might be something that you need to use. Now, in order to do it, in the window menu, there is a place where you can show the timeline. You'll need to do that. You'll need to bring in your video, which it can bring in most of your regular formats, and then convert that video to a smart object, which I believe is in the layer menu. And what a smart object is in this case is, instead of just affecting one frame, it affects the entirety of the video. So it says, oh, you don't want to color correct this one frame, you want to color correct all them bad boys. No problem. Then you just pick a frame that's representative of the problem you're having. I would recommend that you only do this for one shot. If you're only having a problem with one shot, do this before you do everything. If the video is one shot, or if it's multiple shots and they have the same problem or whatever, you can do this at the end as the final step. And then you convert the video to a smart object and start messing with it just like you would a still image that had the same problems. Now, you might be thinking something like, well, I don't know how to re-white balance video in Photoshop. Let me give you a pro tip. Actually, this isn't a pro tip. This is a I don't know how to do stuff tip. Anytime I have a question about how to do something, I head to YouTube. Here's a simple way to do this. Go to Google, type in site, S-I-T-E, colon, and then the URL of the site you want to search, in this case, youtube.com, space, and then what you want to look for. If you do that, you'll see only the results on that site. So, site:youtube.com/white-balance-photoshop will take you right there. And you'll find tons of videos on where people are doing that exact same thing. They're re-white balancing in Photoshop. And it's really not all that difficult. You just need to know which color correction layer to choose and how to get the white eyedropper tool, find something white, click on that, get the black eyedropper tool, find something black, click on that, get a neutral gray eyedropper tool, find something neutral gray, click on that. That's going to give you your best results. But let's say instead of having a white balance problem like I did, the video looks great, but you just want to take it up a notch. Take it up a notch. Why don't you add a curves color correction layer, and then you can adjust the curves of the colors and everything, and maybe tweak it so that it looks a little bit more like film. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe now I've got your mind running. But correcting things, that's not the only thing you can do. You can also do this other thing that I did. I didn't like any of the choices for lower thirds in the software I was using to edit, because this is H.264 footage, it would take me a while to get it into the old version of Final Cut. I don't have the current version of Final Cut. I don't have Premiere, but I have Camtasia. So in Camtasia, all I did was I synced up the clips and I exported, clipping off the beginning and end, you know, because it was an all one take kind of thing. So that's what you do in Camtasia. That's what I did in Camtasia. You could do this in iMovie or any of the other software that basically does this. And then I exported it, brought it into Photoshop, and did my color correction. Then, just thinking, hey, this is like a still image, I picked where I wanted to start my lower third, which it will play back. It slows down the frame rate to match the amount of RAM and stuff in your computer, the processor speed, etc. So it was playing it back slowly, you know, dropping frames and all. And so I found right before I introduced myself, and then I put in a lower third. And creating that lower third is pretty simple if you know anything about Photoshop. So in this case, what I did was I drew a rectangle about here on the video, if you're watching the video, in the lower third, if you're not. And I could have just said that. I drew a box in the lower third, and then I rasterized that box. So I turned it from a vector graphic to a regular graphic so that I could mess with it. Then I added a mask to it, and then I used the pen tool to draw some lines on it, and then I right-clicked on that on the lines, and I clicked stroke path, and then I stroked it with the brush. So what I ended up with was kind of a cool lower third that took me 5 minutes to make. Actually, it took me longer to pick the right brush size than it took me to do the rest of the graphic. Because at first I made it too thin, and then I made it too thick, and then I finally found it. So I did that, and that was no problem whatsoever. Then I just added text, and I had all three of these. I had my name, my website, and the text in the lower third, and then I added in the transition at the beginning and a transition at the end. Now, it only does very basic transition, so cross-dissolve, fade to black, fade through white, that kind of thing. Or cuts, of course. So, that was the basics of it. Now, I could have done a little bit of motion to it. Nothing too big, but a little bit. And I would have been able to accomplish basically the same stuff that I would have done in After Effects just doing it in Photoshop. Now, there's a cost of time because it's not really designed primarily as a video editor. But remember the software as a service thing and how expensive Photoshop used to be? I'm going to leave a link below the video for a direct link to Amazon where you can get the photographer's bundle of Photoshop and Lightroom for $10 a month. That's right, $10 a month. Now you have to agree that you're going to do it for a year, but for a year, that is less than the upgrade price of previous versions of Photoshop. And you're only paying it in monthly increments. So you're paying $120 a year. By contrast, you would pay a person that much per day to use it. So do you see how this is a really good deal? So $10 per month, you get both of those pieces of software. If you're not a photographer, no big deal. You don't have to use Lightroom. I haven't downloaded it myself. although I should, because I do occasionally take photographs, sometimes in RAW. So you can get Photoshop. You've always got the latest version. It's always got all the bug fixes and stuff, and it is available offline. There's just kind of a time limit to where it's available offline before it quits working, right? So like once a month you have to be online while you're using it or something like that. I don't know exactly. So I don't see any good reason. I know that there are people where your budgets are super, super, super tight. Mine feels like that someday. You know, I was just downstairs writing out what my weekly grocery budget is, and I put last week's spending, and I'm like, can we beat this? You know, I understand what a tight budget is. But in your church, if you can't find $10, $10 to use the good software, $10 a month, and you don't have to go through the frustration of, this free software doesn't quite work right. It doesn't quite have what I need. I can't really easily do this thing that I need to do. Isn't that worth $10? I know in some parts of the world, maybe that's way too much. But in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, in parts of Asia like Japan or Korea, it's really worth that kind of money. So I really recommend the eGit Photoshop, $10 a month. You can really take your videos to the next level with this software, and you can fix some problems that you should have paid attention enough to while you were shooting. I'm pointing at myself here. As you're using all these tools to go out and change eternity. Everyone, don't forget to comment on this video. So comment below the video, either on trinitydigitalmedia.com or on YouTube. That helps me get noticed. And the reason I want to get noticed is I want to help more churches. So let's do a philosophy exercise. Getting noticed helps more churches. So that's why, basically, I want you to comment to help more churches. We can leave out the middle step. And if you want to ask some questions, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com is my email address. If you're more of a phone person, no problem. 1-877-763-3246. That's 1-877-POD-ECHO. My Twitter handle is Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanCliff. And you can always just comment below the video. You can always go to trinitydigitalmedia.com and see everything that I've got there. I've added a new thing where the latest episode is up on the right-hand sidebar, and you can just pop that out, and while you're surfing the net, listen to me going through what I did on that day or the day before, depending on what time of day you're doing it. And I just love to hear from you. So until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Don't forget to subscribe either on YouTube or at TrinityDigitalMedia.com/subscribe. Or if you've already subscribed, head over to iTunes and give me a sentence review with 4 or 5 stars. The URL for all those links is trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews. Till next time.